Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome back to another episode of The Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going well. I am warm still in England.
I forgot about this. Last week we said we have to do this every time.
Every single comment on that episode was about the weather, which I appreciated hearing about, but I was just overwhelmed by the number of comments about the weather.
I was away. Usually I read the comments right when we post the episode, and then I kind of don't after that. So I try to do it within that weekend, but I was really busy last weekend, and I was also off on that Friday since it was the 4th. So I didn't check them all. I saw a few comments that said the weather, but I did not go through them all. Was all the weather very positive?
It was generally very positive, but just the number of comments was...
Keep it up.
I was bowled over.
Please, I've never heard that phrase before. Bowled over?
Yeah, that phrase. It must be an English phrase.
I definitely, like take the, what's the mick? People say that. I don't know what that means though.
Take the mick, take the mickey, yeah.
Take the mick, okay. Well, I would love to keep hearing your weather. This time I could read more of it. It is very sunny and hot still. So for those who are curious, we're still rocking in some good weather. I love it. And I don't have a good segue for this.
I've got a segue.
Go ahead.
It's so hot that my MacBook Pro is very hot and it needs a replacement.
Ah, well, if you were looking at an M6 Pro or Max chip, that's never going to happen. So,
yeah, that's true.
Great segue, Hartley. Let's talk about today. We're going to focus on the upcoming MacBook Pros and also the MacBook Ultra, if that is in fact its true name. I don't know what else it would be, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Ultra.
I think at this point, everything that's better than a Pro is just going to be Ultra and Ultra expensive, which we'll try not to harp on for all the price hikes that we've been talking about, because that's super depressing. There's nothing like talking about something that sounds exciting and cool and then realizing you can't afford it, which is pretty much my entire life. Everything that I want to do is just I can't afford. So I love that for me. But the M6 Pro and M6 Max chips are apparently just not happening. And I don't know if you have more intel behind that besides just we're skipping over that and we're going to stick with some things here and then just go to the 7 when that time comes. Is that true?
Effectively, yes. I mean, it is a little bit strange. And Apple's done peculiar things with progressing Apple Silicon before, but we've never seen anything like this where it just skips over the high-end chips but still delivers the low-end. So there will still be an M6 this year, following very clearly in that succession and generations of chips that have been going on for so long now. But when it comes to the MacBook Pro, where we would normally expect the successor to the current model, the high-end models to be the M6 Pro and M6 Max, those are not happening. The M6 chip will only be available as an M6. There will be no other chips in that family because Apple wants to skip ahead to the M7. And the M7 is supposedly far more optimized for on-device AI, is a considerably more powerful chip, presumably will be made with a more advanced fabrication process, and it just makes sense to go ahead to those. I also imagine that the global chip shortage hasn't helped with that situation. But a lot of it also comes down to timing and the fact that we are expecting this MacBook Ultra. So the situation has got incredibly messy. We should probably try and unpack some of this.
Yeah, because I have no idea when the Ultra is actually coming anymore. I've heard.
Yeah, we don't know anymore. We were expecting it in late 2026. That's what was pretty much always rumored. But then when there started to be these rumors of price rises and problems in the memory supply chain, that got pushed out to early 27. So it's definitely coming in that time period. It's not going to be in late 27 because there is already a successor to the MacBook Ultra planned for late 27. So they need to get the first Ultra out the door by early 27 at the latest. Otherwise, it will only be on shelves for 9 months or less, which has happened.
It's
a bit of a shame for those first generation Ultra buyers, because you will be buying a machine with silicone that already exists. So this is something that we haven't mentioned, which is that the MacBook Ultra will feature the M5 Pro and M5 Max, the same ones that are available right now in the MacBook Pro and have been available for months. Mm-hmm. So it will not be more powerful. It'll have better cooling or something. I'm sure they'll overclock it or whatever to deliver a slightly better performance, but it will be fundamentally the same silicon that's available right now. And then that will be replaced by M7 models in the second half of next year.
Yeah.
So whatever happens, if you're a first-time buyer for the Ultra, that is a device that is not going to be around for all that long, that generation. And you may feel a little bit short-sold on that, you could say.
But we're anticipating when the M7 Pros and M7 Maxes come out in whatever year, next year, I guess. We're expecting that to also just go to the MacBook Pro still, right?
Probably, yes, because we don't know what's happening with the MacBook Pro.
Right, so it's if they're planning to keep it around, which I am convinced they will be, right? I think there will be MacBook Pros, 14 and 16-inch, and then MacBook Ultra in, I'm guessing, the same size. I actually don't know. I just realized this. I never actually thought about, is the MacBook Ultra only going to come in one size, or is it both? Okay,
no,
that's what I just assumed.
Same, two sizes.
But for some reason, I just assumed, okay. So that's pretty much always going to be the case then. You know, I understand what you're saying, that the first generation is going to be strange because it's going to be an Ultra and it's going to be a new machine, but it's going to come out with old silicon. I get that. But then when the M7s come out, there's still always going to be that MacBook Pro with the same chipset. So really the Ultra, that decision-making is mostly like, okay, it's not really power related. It's more so, do you need all the other bells and whistles on top, aka an OLED screen that is presumably a touch screen? I'm still kind of like, I know we're hearing and that it's supposed to be like that, but I just still can't believe that. Especially, I pulled up on my last video when I did it on this about the Steve Jobs clip, which always makes me laugh when he's like, it's just, you're going to be too tired to like touch the screen. I find that hilarious. I don't know why you would be tired, but you wouldn't be tired using an iPad with a keyboard on it. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, I mean, it's always going to be, there's going to be those two things. So you just, there's other reasons to go to the Ultra, and not necessarily because it's got more power. Although they should put the Ultra chip in there somehow. That is something that
that's a very physically large chip because it's a doubled up Max chip. I don't know that that'll happen considering that it's supposed to actually be thinner than the current MacBook Pros.
Always thinner.
So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the MacBook Pro itself, as in the high-end models, because we know that they're going to skip M6, which presumably means that they will get M7. But it's also possible that the MacBook Pro, in terms of the high-end model, disappears. That is the other option here, and that the MacBook Pro is only available in the what will be the base model M7, which is also expected. That is one of the models that we have heard about. And that is due to come out in the first half of next year. So that is even shorter. If you are buying an M6 MacBook Pro with the base M6 chip, that is probably a machine that will only be on sale for maybe 6 months. So there is a lot of transition going on in the MacBook Pro through to the MacBook Ultra. And that's a lot of models there, because you've got the base MacBook Pro, then you've got the two high-end MacBook Pros, and then there will be two MacBook Ultras. So we're actually talking about five devices here that are all coming out at slightly different times with slightly different chips.
Not confusing at all. It's fine. This is fine.
And where they don't have different chips, they are exactly the same across product lines that actually where you would expect them to be different. So it is very confusing. I think that obviously by the end of next year, all of this will be a lot clearer and the lineup should be a lot more consolidated, because at that point, if you walk in an Apple store and you look at these five MacBooks, they will all have M7 chips, presumably. And the differentiators between the MacBook Pro and MacBook Ultra would be some of these things you've mentioned, although we are expecting a redesign. So it won't be quite as many as will initially be apparent when the MacBook Ultra goes on sale, because the base model MacBook Pro is going to be redesigned before the high-end MacBook Pro.
Of course it is.
So it just gets even more complicated.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick minute to tell you more about this episode's sponsor, Claude. One of the biggest parts of my job is researching upcoming Apple products, digging through rumors, comparing reports, and trying to spot patterns before really anyone else does. So normally that means bouncing between a dozen tabs, articles, and notes. Lately, I've been using Claude as a research partner, and it's honestly changed the way I work. Instead of just giving me quick answers, it helps me connect information across sources, organize my thoughts, and get to conclusions much faster. Claude is the AI for minds that don't stop at good enough. It's the collaborator that actually understands your entire workflow and thinks with you. Whether you're debugging code at midnight or strategizing your next business move, Claude extends your thinking to tackle the problems that matter. What I found to be especially useful is deep research. It can pull together information from dozens of sources, cite where it's finding things, and even help uncover connections I probably would have missed on my own. It feels less like a chatbot and more like having a really smart research assistant available whenever I need it. So for problems worth solving, get started with Claude at claude.ai/Mac. That's claude.ai/Mac. And check out Claude Pro, which includes access to all of the features mentioned in today's episode.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
So right now we have an M5 MacBook Pro, right? 14-inch, that is the base model. Then we have an M5 Pro and M5 Max 14 and 16-inch models. Then later this year,
You're right so far.
Well, but you don't know where I'm going with this. Later this year, we're expecting an M6 Pro or just an M6 machine MacBook Pro?
Yep.
Okay. And that'll be 14 inches, right? There's no...
Same as the current one.
They haven't given you the 16-inch option. That's only if you want to pay more for the chip. But there won't be an M6 Pro and M6 Max. And maybe we might have an M5 Pro and M5 Max Ultra later this year, if not first quarter next year.
Yeah, that's definitely coming.
Nailed it.
And then after that, we are expecting an M7 base model.
I can't think that far.
And after that, presumably, we are expecting the high-end MacBook Pros to finally get an upgrade to M7, if indeed they aren't completely dropped from the lineup. That's probably quite unlikely. They will continue to exist. Uh-huh. Those ones will probably be redesigned, like the base M7. And then the other one we are definitely expecting is the M7 Ultra at the tail end of next year. So I guess the message here is, probably, if you're a MacBook Pro customer, now is a good for the high end. Now is probably still a good time to buy that. But I would probably not buy the M6 base model when that comes out. And I probably would not buy the Ultra when it comes out either. I would hold out for the M7 generation of those devices because the chip bump should be so significant. I was really interested in buying the MacBook Ultra later this year. You know, I'm still running a M1 Pro and it's done great for me, but its battery is heavily degraded. That is a machine that is now 5 years old. It's definitely on the way out and I need something a little bit more powerful and a little bit more up to date. So I would be in the market for this redesigned device with these new features. But do I really want to buy an M5 generation version of that when actually there is an M7 that will be available less than a year later? And I know that you can always be saying that, But I think on this occasion, because we are expecting it to be a considerable leap in chip technology, and it could come in well less than a year, because if it does come early next year, and then the M7 model comes in September next year, that is a device that will not have been on sale for very long, with hardware at that point that will feel a little bit outdated because we'll already have M6 chips. So I am now one of these customers that is probably going to hold on to that M1 Pro, MacBook Pro, until the tail end of next year, which is going to pain me, but I think that it will be rewarded.
Because you're thinking of going for the Ultra with the M7, right?
Yes.
But like, does it really matter for you personally, or just in general, if there's somebody out there like you that's holding on to a M1 Pro or M1 Max, does it really matter if you go from M7 or M5 to M7? I think there's going to be enough of a major upgrade.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, and it would still be a major upgrade. But if we were talking one chip generation, I would agree.
Yeah.
But I think that to skip two chip generations in less than a year, that's a tough pill to swallow when this is a machine. I mean, I've kept my current one for 5 years. I probably will keep the next one for another 5. That'll take me well into the 2030s. I fully anticipate to still be working on this device maybe into the middle of the next decade. So I think that to skip two chip generations, or to skip over an entire chip generation in what could be as little as 6 months, I am perfectly happy to do that.
See, I would just look at it as like the benchmarks for the M7 Pro Max are probably what the M6 benchmarks would have been anyway. So even though I have no way of knowing that, and it's probably not true, in my brain, that's the way I would justify it. So I would say, it's only numbered skips of a generation, but it's really just the next one.
It should be more substantial, though, because the fact,
yeah.
I would agree with you if it wasn't for the fact that we're getting the M6. Because the fact that we're getting that indicates that that will be based on the iPhone's silicon, which is still continuing to progress rapidly. Mm-hmm. And it will move up in terms of fabrication technology as well. So I'm assuming that the M6 will be the first 2-nanometer chip. So that's what the A20 should be in this year's iPhone, the first 2-nanometer iPhone chip. That would mean that the M7 will be the first second generation 2-nanometer. Now, base versions of new fabrication processes, they're exciting because they're significantly more miniaturized, but we don't really see the proper enhancements from that until a second or third generation version of that process. So it won't actually just be a relabeled version of M6 Pro and M6 Max. The actual hardware should be substantially different. And if Apple is talking about substantially boosting the AI capabilities of this hardware, I think it would be crazy to buy an M5 series chip that, while definitely starting with M4, Apple started to enhance the AI capabilities. And, you know, we've got neural accelerators on every GPU core now. Apple Silicon is optimized for AI. It always has been with the neural accelerators, but especially over the last two chip generations. With the world that we now live in, with AI becoming increasingly important to everyone's workflows, and with Apple Silicon now finally actually being used to power an on-device version of Siri, and on your Mac, you can run some fantastic on-device AI tools as well. If this is a device that I'm planning to keep through to the next decade, and who knows what on-device AI I will be running in 2033, I absolutely want that extra on-device AI power. I don't want to be running an M5 Pro into the next decade. I want to be running an M7 Pro.
Yeah, for sure. I think that makes a lot of sense. One thing we should probably clarify, like we should go over all the things that we're expecting the Ultra to have, because that's the biggest major differences. But what do we know about the regular MacBook Pro redesigns that's eventually going to happen? Is this supposed to look like the Ultra and get to that point?
It's very hard to say. We don't really know anything about it, but I think we can make some informed guesses.
Yeah.
So the current base model MacBook Pro replaced the previous 13-inch model. And Apple's had that split now for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, this became most clear with the M1 model. And the M1 model was always a it was a stand-in for the base model. It was sold alongside high-end Intel models. Then we got that M1 Pro and M1 Max, and that replaced the high-end model. If you roll that forward, eventually we got that same design, which features the mini LED display. You get that keyboard with the Blackwell. You get that extra port as well. The SD card reader, the HDMI slot, all of these things you don't get on the MacBook Air. And also it does contain a fan for active cooling as well. So it actually is just that little bit more powerful than the MacBook Air. But that sits below the high-end models. And Apple has continued to update that and give that some good upgrades over the years. And then gradually it started to update that model first, which is why we got the M5 MacBook Pro before we got the M5 Pro and M5 Max. And I think that's where you can see that those two products that were running alongside each other and the base model was always behind. Suddenly the base model has moved ahead in terms of when Apple is giving them to us. That will continue this year with the M6. And then next year with the M7, that will take the biggest leap yet because it will actually be the one to get the redesign. Rather than the redesign starting at the high end, it will actually start at the low end. Now, I don't know why they're doing that. It's a little weird. I would anticipate that the reason is probably because the design is ready and the M7 will be ready before the M7 Pro and M7 Max. So they just want to ship that product in time to kind of pave the way for when we get that redesign through on the M7 Pro and M7 Max MacBook Pro. So it will effectively be the same design that we are expecting on the high-end models is what I just took a really long time to explain.
My brain is frying. But like, here's the thing though, it can't get too much because it's got to be different.
This is the thing.
If they're going to share the chips, they have to be different enough. So what can you do?
Here's my guess. I think that they will probably get Dynamic Island.
Okay.
I think that they will get that because that will feel like a relatively significant upgrade looking at the front of the machine. Uh-huh. We know that Siri should integrate nicely with that, just like it does on the iPhone. It also is probably going to be a punch hole rather than an actual pill-shaped dynamic island. And we know that the pill is going to debut, the punch hole is going to debut on the iPhone Ultra. And we know that the pill is reducing in size on the iPhone until eventually that will also become a punch hole, probably next year with the 20th anniversary iPhone. So with that in mind, to kind of unify things across the product lineup, I would expect that it would get that. Maybe it will also get OLED, and maybe it will also be a little bit thinner. But I would be surprised if it got a touchscreen. The touchscreen is maybe what will keep will be reserved for the Ultra. Alternatively, it could go the other way, and maybe we will get touchscreen, but it will stick with mini LED.
I can't imagine touchscreen. That's like such a marquee feature in my mind, and like the OLED. Like I can't imagine either of those two things going, because then what else is the point? Why would anyone need like the mini LED? Is fine. I would be willing to bet. I don't think most people would notice the difference between the mini LED and OLED. I really don't. I mean, maybe you put them side by side, but if you showed them one, took it away, showed them the other, not put them side by side, I don't think most people would notice the difference.
I agree. And Apple's mini LED displays are incredible. I will say that when I go to using my M4 iPad Pro, which has this tandem OLED, which is the same kind of OLED we're expecting on the Ultra, it does look better. It is the best display that I have on any Apple device. It noticeably looks better. But when I go to my Mac Pro, I don't really miss it. So I do agree with you. This is why I wonder, and this hasn't been rumored, if the MacBook Pro, M7 Pro, and M7 Max just don't exist. And we get the redesigned M7, which has a base chip, and they can make it thinner, and maybe they'll give it OLED. Maybe they'll give it Dynamic Island, but it will basically just be a slightly tweaked and updated version of the MacBook Pro in its current form. And then to prevent this kind of cannibalization in the lineup, they just cut those high-end MacBook Pro models and replace that with the MacBook Ultra because they're going to be more expensive. The MacBook Pro is more expensive now anyway. I just don't know that there's enough space for all of these devices.
Yeah, I mean, I
could actually make do with a base M7, especially if it's redesigned. That would feel like an upgrade for me over my M1. So yeah. Any of these five machines, or if you actually want to break the chip variants out as well, we're talking about 9 different machines here. That is a lot of different MacBook Pros, all of which I would be very happy to buy. I'm a potential customer for all of those, but Apple's not making it easy for me to decide which one.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
I think what you said makes the most sense. The regular, what I will just say M7 at this point, M7 Pro is like the base model that we have now. That is probably fine for 90% of the customers out there. Even me, honestly. I know I do more in terms of like editing and need some more power behind it, but not really, honestly. So I think I'd be fine with that. And then for those who maybe think they're, for vanity's sake, think they need more or actually do need more, because those people do in fact exist. You have the Ultra and that's it. And let's get rid of the Pro and Max, regular version of the MacBook Pro. We don't need those. It's just the Ultra. This is what you get. And then, you know, maybe the base model gets like the same look and like external physical features, whether they remove or add ports. I mean, I don't think they're going to add any, but like whatever that might be on the outside, and maybe the dynamic island, but like screens and everything that's higher end stays for the Ultra.
I agree. And that would make more sense to me. Mm-hmm. What will be more peculiar to me is how they differentiate this high end model. I mean, it's not like the iPhone Ultra where there's going to be no mistaking an iPhone Ultra for an iPhone Pro. Mm-hmm. If you're actually going to redesign the Ultra and you're giving it a display technology that surely eventually has to come to the MacBook Pro. I mean, there were OLED laptops before the MacBook Pro even got mini LED. Mm-hmm. And it's had that now for 5 years. It will certainly have it going into 6 years. So at some point, the MacBook Pro has to get OLED. OLED cannot be the differentiator. It surely also eventually has to get Dynamic Island. The MacBook Pro cannot be stuck with a notch forever. Mm-hmm. Touchscreens, I think, inevitably also have to come down the lineup. They don't have to come down soon, but the whole reason why Apple is bringing touchscreen to the Mac is because it is a feature that all of the rival Windows laptops, they all have it, and whether you and I like it or not, they drive sales. And people do want a touchscreen on their laptop. It's a little bit weird to me. I agree with Steve Jobs' logic. I don't want to be lifting my finger up. And if I get that MacBook Ultra, I am never going to be touching that screen. But people want it. And eventually, 10 years from now, people are going to want that on a MacBook Neo. They're going to certainly want it on a MacBook Air before then. I think that the moment the MacBook Air gets OLED, I think it is only a matter of time before it also gets a touchscreen. So if the MacBook Pro inevitably has to get OLED and it has to get Dynamic Island and it has to get a touchscreen, what is different if they are also going to redesign it? Maybe the Ultra will have more ports. That is a possibility. You alluded to that. Maybe they will give it a couple of extra USB-C or Thunderbolt ports. Maybe it will be thinner. It could have better speakers, say. There are other possibilities of things you can do there. But they are really going to have to, in the long run, figure this out. And I agree with you. It would be good to have some chip differentiation because it always makes things clearer, makes it way easier for buyers. It would be good if they could eventually cram an Ultra chip into the Ultra.
Say, figure
that out.
It
would make sense. But maybe dropping the Max chip from the MacBook Pro and leaving that as the Ultra option would also make sense.
I like that.
But there's got to be something, right? Because it's so confused.
The M7 MacBook Pro Max Ultra. I don't know. Where are we going with this?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Here's one specific thing, because I'm like, yeah, unless the, which we know it's not going to happen, or at least not right now. But the only way I would ever touch the MacBook screen is if I could get the keyboard out of the way. And it would just be like, you know, like the yoga books where it folds underneath and I can be on a plane and do iPad stuff, you know, like when I just want to watch stuff and I don't need the keyboard per se. The only time I can see myself actually genuinely using the screen to like for touch is zooming in on something. Because there's still no good way. I mean, I know you can like do it on the trackpad, but if you're also somebody who maybe uses a mouse, I don't know, maybe you're an external mouse person. Or it's just nothing better than like just going in to where you need to go in on a picture and just pinch to zoom. I find myself wanting to do that sometimes on my Mac.
I'll take your word for it on that one. I mean, I've never had that urge. But
when you just need to get close in on a picture or something, like it helps for when I'm like trying to zoom in on stuff to like figure out what I'm looking at in like an edit or something. I don't know. No, maybe it's just me.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not one of these customers. I would be very interested to hear from our listeners about if they have a touchscreen laptop or what they would want touchscreen for, because I genuinely don't know. I'm very out of touch in this regard. I'm showing the fact that I am so I'm showing that I am so deeply entrenched in the Apple ecosystem and always have been, that just the idea of a touchscreen laptop, I just don't get it.
Well, Apple has to tell us what the point is of it too. And I just cannot wait to hear what they have to say about that. You know, I know they won't acknowledge the Steve Jobs comments from before. I know that, but I'll be curious. Also, kind of off topic, but not really. We were talking about the iPhone Ultra very briefly. Did you see that Samsung has announced its event for its new foldable? And did you see the rumors that there's a new form factor?
Yes.
Okay. So my way for people, because there are still some people who comment like, Apple's not making a foldable. It's just not happening. If you want to know what Apple is going to do for sure, just look at when Samsung puts out something that's a little out of the ordinary. For example, the S25, was it? The S25 Edge? And we're like, oh, there's no iPhone Air. That's not going to happen. But we've had rumors of it. And then all of a sudden, you just see this random pop-up of a very thin phone that and it happens a few months in advance. Anytime. They know the knowledge. They know what's happening. I mean, they do supply displays. I know that technically there's a way for them to not know any other info. But I'm very positive that there's very good intel for each company, and they know when things are going to happen. And Samsung's always trying to beat Apple when it comes to like, oh, there's a new form factor that's coming out, at least in mobile. So the fact that there's going to be a wide foldable coming in a couple of weeks, which, by the way, I'll be providing you coverage of it when that comes out. So it'll be interesting, because it'll be nice to see what that form factor feels like, because it'll be a nice little preview of what we'll get from the iPhone.
I mean, it'll be more similar to what we've seen from Google, which has had the kind of shorter, I always describe it as like a passport style foldable, because it's kind of that exact shape. It's a lot more sort of squarish rather than these very tall, slender foldables, which I've never really liked. And I actually think that Apple is making the right call here. And clearly, Samsung feels like it needs to have an option to directly compete.
But they didn't. They didn't when other people did it. Like you said, Google has done it. The last two generations, I think there's been. Google's done it. There's Xiaomi did basically copied the exact specs of the iPhone, apparently. And that exists. But there's been other brands that have existed with this form factor. And Samsung hasn't bothered. They've stuck with the design for seven generations, and now all of a sudden there's a new one.
I think it's
a nice little
that tells
there.
Me that it must be better, and that this is what the industry is settling on as the optimal form factor for a foldable. If you know the three major foldables from those companies are all the same in terms of form factor, I think it is probably the right decision. Whether it will be very popular, at least as far as the iPhone Ultra is concerned, is a whole other question. I mean, actually, we've talked a bunch about that, but we should actually talk about the MacBook Ultra in that regard. Because if indeed it is more expensive than the MacBook Pro, which, by the way, now costs easily, if you spec that up, you're going to be spending $4,000 maybe.
What's the highest end? Isn't it like 10 grand or something?
Yeah,
crazy?
It's over 10,000 if you fully spec up a MacBook Pro now.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're spending, hold on real quick, it is a PSA. If you are not a insane professional, or like, you know, if your work bought it for you, who cares? That's their issue, not yours. But if you're like a private, you know, when I was talking about vanity, like this is good for everyone, myself included. You as a creator of any kind of content on YouTube most likely do not need a $10,000 laptop. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Please don't ever pay that much. That is insane. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, maybe you should pay for a $15,000 laptop instead.
Oh, that's what the Ultra is probably going to be, yeah, for sure.
So I don't know what the starting price of this will be. I mean, what is the starting price of the MacBook Pro right now? But it's got to be at least
find out right now.
$300 more than that. It can't be a small difference. There's no way.
It is. If you were to buy the 14-inch starts at $19.99, the 16-inch starts at $29.99.
So the MacBook Ultra has got to surely start at maybe $2,300?
Yeah.
At the very least.
How do you pick the chip? Where does that... Oh, here it is. Okay, so yeah, that's just for the M5, right? So I go Space Black. Sorry, there's so many freaking options you have to do now. Yeah, that's $19.99 for the M5. If you want the M5 Pro, so this is more of the baseline.
Oh.
It's $24.99 for a 14-inch.
Well, in that case, the Ultra's got to cost nearer to $3,000.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Would you like to hear what a max chip in 14-inch size comes in?
Go on.
Can you brace yourself? $4,099. I mean, that is insane. I am very glad that I got mine. I forgot. I don't know what happened to my window here, but the 16-inch is obviously more. So there's that. Oh, hey, sorry, I got it back. If you go to a 16-inch because you're like, I need that screen, that starts at $29.99 for a Pro, and then Max is $43.99. Get out of here. That's wild. AI is ruining my life. Although yep, there are some people out there who think that Apple blaming it, or all these companies blaming it on AI for the chip shortage, might be a little bit of a fabrication, but like a little bit, like, yeah, but like they could not raise the prices so much and they'd be fine. But how do you become capitalistic in America?
It's open for debate, but I think it's safe to say that the MacBook Ultra will be quite a rare device to encounter. Probably rarer than an iPhone Ultra. Mm-hmm. I mean,
listen,
this
I'll
really
see it when
will
I
be
go to
used
events
by serious professionals who are
dumb YouTubers
who maybe
like me,
who don't actually need a touchscreen, but their company is buying it. So they are being bought the highest end model that they can, or it is going to be bought by enthusiasts and people that, I don't know, people with more money than sense, which I don't say that in a bad way because I'm probably one of them.
No, listen, I'm okay. If I'm still doing this, you know, during that time, and I just mean that as, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, not like I'm going anywhere. Nobody freak out if you care about me doing Mac Rumors still. But if I'm still doing Mac Rumors, I'm reviewing it. I'm going to have one, okay? That just is what it is. Most likely, maybe we decide it's too much and we, you know, if Apple's not going to provide one, because that doesn't always happen, we do buy a lot of our own devices. Like maybe we just decide it's not worth it and we're not going to do it. So, but anyone that does what I do for a living as well is probably going to have one. I will see them at these events when we go and film. But like a random person on a plane that I don't know what they do and they're not like in this profession, for example, I don't know. How many Airs have you seen out there? Not that that's the same thing, but it kind of is. It's too expensive and it's a weird, obscure phone. How many iPhone Airs have you seen?
In the wild, I have seen it, I believe, once, maybe twice.
Never. I only saw it, an Apple employee had one, and it was like their secondary phone. That was it.
Yeah. I mean, I do have some friends that have them, but these are all people that are relatively into tech And that's not so strange to me. But also, some of those people returned it. So it's
like seeing a Vision Pro in the wild. I haven't seen one of those either.
Yeah. I mean, how many people have you ever seen, like on the subway wearing a Vision Pro or something? I've only ever seen that on on social
considering
media.
I live in Midwest America, we don't have a subway. I mean, we have a train, but that's like very specific niche purpose here. So never. I'll maybe when I go to New York in a couple of weeks, I can go on the subway there and see if there's anyone. But yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to compare these though, because like this MacBook Ultra actually seems like a pretty good upgrade in terms of like what you're getting. Maybe the touchscreen's not for us, but it could be for you. Of course,
it sounds like a really exciting device. I mean, I remember when the current MacBook Pros came out, as I'm sure you do, and how exciting that was.
Oh, yeah.
The MacBook Pro is probably the best thing they currently make, maybe. It's such an incredible, well-finished device. So I'm very excited to see what they do with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be interested. It's just real quick, I'm going to list these off and then we'll wrap it up here. But like, you know, if for those who are like, hey, just tell us what we're going to have in it. M5 Pro, M5 Max. We've already talked about that. And then eventually it'll get the M7 Pro and M7 Max. You still get 14 and 16 inch sizes. It's going to have a redesign. It's supposed to be lighter. I don't really know what else it's going to look like. I can't imagine anything. Thinner, but like, what is the shape? Does the shape taper again? Are we doing that whole thing? Or is it going to stay this like blockiness that we have? Just thinner? Like, how else can you redesign a Mac or a laptop in general? You know, I can't really envision anything else besides a thinner version of what we already have. And if that piques your interest, cool. I don't really care personally. Just don't reduce the battery size. It's going to have an OLED display. We're guessing it's going to look just as good as this iPad one. So that'll be great. The touchscreen we've talked about, macOS apparently would be adapted for touch. So we've seen, am I going crazy? I feel like on X specifically, I've seen videos circulating about like macOS now, the beta having like touch abilities in some of the menus.
For example, one of these, the biggest giveaway is that Sidecar, which has been available for that has never had touch support. So a few years ago, they added Apple Pencil support, so you could go in and select menus and do whatever, but it would never actually work with touch on your iPad. With Golden Gate, it does. Finally. So you can now interact with macOS using touch, using Apple's own hardware and software with no additional third-party trickery at all. You can do that.
Here's a question. And my answer is probably no, but I would be curious to see what you think here. Do you think Apple Pencil support happens right off the bat? And if it does, does Apple make the hinge of the MacBook go completely flat so that you can, if you wanted to, it would still be very awkward, but you could essentially draw or write? Or does they give you the support but keep it so that when it's just kind of upright and you're just being weird and doing this?
I think that in its first iteration, there probably will be no Apple Pencil support.
I agree. Go ahead.
But I think in the long term, that would be better. I am very interested in the hinge. I mean, one thing we have heard rumored is that the device is going to need a stronger hinge. And currently, the MacBook Pro does not tilt very far back compared to other laptops. That's for structural integrity. But I think it will have to go a little bit further back at the very least. And also, it will need to kind of hold its place better because now it does move very, very easily. It will have to be a bit of a stiffer hinge.
Yeah.
That doesn't wobble quite so much because it does actually have quite a lot of wobble at the moment. It's clearly not meant to be touched. I think that in the long run, I agree with you. It would be best if this could fold right behind the device, or at the very least fold flat, and have Apple Pencil support. Because at that point, say if you want to sign a document, something as simple as that, or you want to illustrate, or there are occasions you may want to do that. Picking up an Apple Pencil for $129 is not a difficult sell if you're buying a $4,000 laptop.
Listen, it's our show, so we can dream, right? We can do whatever we want. This is the dream, in my opinion. You remember the Microsoft Surface Book? the one with the cool looking like rollable hinge there, and then like the screen just completely detaches. I know this will never happen, but that would be the dream MacBook for me, because you have so many different form factors or like positions that you can do with the actual laptop itself, but then you can detach it, and then if it just went into iPadOS or the touch version of macOS, and I know it would cannibalize iPad sales, but like that's the goal, man. Just dude, I don't want a foldable glass one. Just make it like that.
I would love the ability to actually, I mean, if we're talking dream devices here, my dream would be to have a 13-inch foldable iPad that I can fold in half to be like an iPad mini, but also that I can dock on a keyboard and it will run a full-blown version of macOS.
I mean, we're basically talking the same thing here. Yeah. Maybe they just need to make a smaller size of what
I actually, I wouldn't mind if they want to take $4,500 from me for that. I'll pay it, because that's going to replace a lot of other devices and keep it all on one. That would be incredibly exciting. And maybe one day, because they are rumored to be working on a foldable iPad. We are getting touch support in macOS. I don't think it's ever going to amalgamate, but I do think maybe one day, even if we don't get like macOS on the iPad per se, I think that we could get kind of hybrid devices. We have heard a lot of rumors about Apple being very interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah. And by the way, it was launched at in 2015, way ahead of its time. And I always thought it was really expensive, but it was only $15.99 only. Could you imagine something like that launching from Apple would be like $5,000 at this point?
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let us know your comments, everything that we just talked about down in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube. I still need to check. I know Spotify, we have comments every once in a while, but I always forget to check that. And then, you know, podcast@macrumors.com. You can email us. And yeah, we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.